Hello and welcome to NJ Biz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanaj. My guest today is Mark McDonough. He is the president of New Jersey American Water, the state's largest investor-owned utility. Mark, welcome.
Thanks, Jeff. Great to be here.
Oh, thanks for joining me. I really appreciate you taking the time. I wanted to start talking a little bit about some of the acquisitions that American Water has done. I'm particularly interested in some of the referendums that you've dealt with. If I recall correctly, it's five since 2019. Most recently, Salem City and Manville, which joined Somerville, Bound Brook, and Long Hill. I'm curious, what is the company's pitch to voters in those kinds of referendum? How do you convince them that your service is better than what they're getting?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, every pitch is slightly different. We try and, you know, mold it to the particular. But generally, what we're selling to folks is the chance for professionals to come in and operate the system. Oftentimes in communities like Manville and Somerville and Bound Brook, it's a flooding issue. It's a wastewater issue.
That's right.
Yes. So we're trying to eliminate a problem. And what we're guaranteeing them is that we're going to invest and recapitalize their system to help eliminate. It's really resiliency and climate change has driven that to a great degree. In Salem, it's a little bit broader situation. It's both water and wastewater, and there's emerging contaminants present in Salem. And frankly, Salem was an underserved community. So our pitch is a much more challenging one because we're trying to instill in people trust in their water system. And we reassure them that we're going to come in and we are going to walk the walk. We are going to do the things we promised to do because through oftentimes no fault of the city, there's just been a deterioration in the system, and due to underfunding of systems, this has led to a general mistrust. And we've seen it across the United States, Flint, Jackson, even here in New Jersey and other towns, particularly underserved communities, there's been a real gap. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we push hard to walk the walk for the folks.
Okay, so it sounds like you're coming in and essentially trying to solve problems for them. I mean, I know Bound Brook, Manville and Bound Brook, I'm familiar with the some of the flooding issues. I know you're not doing it for altruistic reasons, but you know, what kind of work then do you have to do? I mean, what's entailed when you take on a system like that has some problems, some historic problems that you say underfunding? I'm assuming these are mostly municipal owned utilities. Is that right?
Yeah, that's predominantly. I mean, there is an opportunity for private companies to have a merger or acquisition situation, but that's less prevalent. It's really more focused on municipalities. And again, it sort of depends on the municipality. Oftentimes we already do the water in Somerville, Manville, and Bound Brook.
Okay. Right.
So it's really coming in and saying, look, we're going to incorporate your wastewater collection system into our normal capital program.
Okay.
And on average, in recent years, we've spent around $500 million. So we have ready capital to invest. In a city like Salem, there's a more acute problem with PFAS.
Mm-hmm.
They've recognized that they have a need. So it's really coming in and saying, look, we're going to formulate a long-term capital investment plan. So it can vary a little bit. And the way you want to communicate that to folks in the town can vary a little bit. But it's really being a solution provider and frankly, committing to and following through on what we say we're going to do.
Okay. And are those solutions, are they just simply beyond the experience or the capabilities of the folks who are running the systems to begin with? I mean, this is what you do.
Right.
you're a water company. The towns are in the business of, you know, governing and providing all sorts of services. So you're a specialist. Is it really that you're just better able to do this kind of work than the towns?
It really is. I oftentimes joke when I'm out speaking on the circuit that this is not your mother or father's or grandmother or grandfather's water system. The things that can go wrong or the challenges that emerge, you know, PFAS forever chemicals, Gen X chemicals, emerging contaminants, 1,4-dioxane is another emerging contaminant that's coming out. All of these challenges, when you add that with the need to recapitalize, then you add on top of that the complexity of climate change. and the difference not only in how you treat water because of climate change, but the resiliency you have to have in the system. It's a combination of expertise and capital to invest.
Okay.
And we bring both of those to bear. And frankly, towns just don't have the wherewithal.
Absolutely. And have you gotten more, are you seeing more of that with climate change? I mean, New Jersey is particularly vulnerable to it. Some of the places that you're talking about, particularly with flooding, is that something that's going to be that you're expecting to ramp up as the years go by?
Yeah, we're seeing more and more acute issues. Flooding, of course. We built recently, Hurricane or Tropical Storm Ida would be a perfect example. This was a non-traditional storm coming from the west,
right,
not really expected to be as devastating as a normal hurricane. It knocked out most of the water systems in central New Jersey, except for ours. The reason it didn't knock ours out is because we had built a 48-foot flood wall around our Raritan Millstone plant. But
okay.
One of the points I make to folks is it's not just having a flood wall, it's recapitalizing and reinvesting in those pipes that are in the ground so that when they have that immense pressure that comes from flooding, they survive. They're not ripped out of the ground as oftentimes happens in floods.
No.
So it's a combination of things, but weather's not getting less extreme, it's getting
it's
more.
Not.
So
right.
it's a constant.
As I'm looking at the
need.
8 inches of snow that we've got
yeah.
in Morris
yeah.
County.
President Fiordaliso used to say, our late BPU president, the race is underway and the red flags are there.
Okay.
We need to really be acting already.
Okay, now I know you also acquired systems in Egg Harbor City through the Water Infrastructure Protection Act. I'm curious on a couple of things on that and all of these acquisitions, all of these referendums. What are you looking for in a target? I mean, are you approached by these towns, or do you go out looking for acquisition targets? And if you do look for them, what are you looking for?
So we communicate with towns, but sometimes they come to us.
Okay.
We oftentimes are very active in the New Jersey American Water Works Association, AWWA, the League of Municipalities, the Urban Mayors Association. So we'll be out communicating to folks, and we're really looking to just have a conversation. There are a number of systems that are well run that have had the proper investment of capital, and they're not really ones that would be necessarily interested in our services.
Okay.
We're really looking for those systems that have challenges that we can bring solutions to.
Okay, and I'm curious, how many more are there? Is this, how long are you going to be able to keep this up?
Well, there's we own 190 systems currently, and there's about 600 in the state of New Jersey. We can keep this up pretty much indefinitely. The other thing, and I love New Jersey. I married a Jersey girl. I'm not from here. I understand that New Jersey, likes its small towns and police forces and fire departments and all that, but consolidation and regionalization of water systems and wastewater systems just makes sense.
Right.
So there's a fairly large field of opportunity. Now, one of the interesting things that's about to happen, the lead service line program that the governor enacted was one thing that puts a lot of challenges on towns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The other is the EPA is going to change and tighten its standard, its MCL, maximum contaminant level, for a number of forever chemicals. We expect right now, if I had to estimate, I'd say there's approximately 25 towns that are below the New Jersey standard of 14 parts per trillion, but will not be will not be below the 4 parts per trillion that EPA is about to issue.
Okay. All right.
So that's going to put towns in a bind. They're going to have to pay for the installation of treatment or find another purveyor to assist them.
Okay. So yet another wave of problems that you're going to be faced with.
Yeah. And in some circumstances, we've already stepped in with the sale of bulk water. So a great example of partnership is we run one third of Camden's water system, New Jersey American Water does. And then our contract group helps run the other two thirds for the city. When the city realized it couldn't meet the 14 parts per trillion standard, we had them shut wells off. We've sold them bulk water to make up for the difference. And they've subsequently built their treatment. So for some towns, it will be buying bulk water while they can shut wells down and get treatment in place. For others, it will simply be like Salem. We'd rather not be in the business of veiling water. We're happy to sell the system to you.
All right. Okay. You mentioned lead service lines. I know the company is working to replace all of them by 2031. Sounds like a big job. Is it, number one, and how is it going?
It is a very big job, but we have a very capable staff. We are by far and away the leader in the industry in New Jersey. We've gotten out in front of it. We're working our way through, and you know, DEP, of course, wants us to do it sort of uniformly. We had actually intended to focus on sort of underserved communities in those towns that are a bit more old, okay, a bit older in terms of infrastructure. But we're trying to do 10% a year across everybody. We've been very good. We've removed several thousand. Biggest challenge right now is identifying those.
Okay.
So we're not chasing unknowns that aren't going to ultimately be lead or galvanized. So we've created a very sophisticated crowdsourcing program where people can go online and they can tell us what it is, or we have community act. We have a group that's helping us with community activity, going out, going door to door and talking to people.
Okay. I was curious about that because you mentioned the fact that you are in touch with the League of Municipalities and municipal leaders all the time. I was curious as to how what kind of sense you get for the scope and the scale of the problem.
We know for sure, I'd say around 24,000 to 30,000 in our own system. Now we have a water connections well above 650,000. We have approximately another several hundred thousand that are unknowns. So we're trying to whittle that down. We don't believe that number. We think our actual number is maybe around 60,000, still quite a few. We've got to take that gap between 60,000-ish and several hundred thousand and say with confidence these do not have lead.
Okay. And what kind of work is that? I mean, I'm curious just about the whether there's any disruption to customers or the community at large when you go in and start to do this kind of work.
It is. It's disruptive. In urban areas, it's more concrete, so it's more challenging.
Exactly.
The nice part of what we do is that we oftentimes can leverage main replacements. Oftentimes, cities are not doing main replacements. So they're just onesie, twosie trying to remove the service line that runs off the main.
Right.
We can open the road, do the entire main, and along the way, replace all the service lines that are identified. So again, the scale of what we do gives us an advantage in that regard, makes it a little bit smoother. But it's a lot of talking. People love their grass. I love
absolutely.
My wife is an adherent to a nice green grass lawn. Sure. So when you have to, you know, tear those lawns up to get that service line, it can be traumatic for the homeowner.
Okay. And you mentioned, I'm glad you mentioned replacing mains because I can tell you as a recipient of communication from your company all the time, we get every week statements, press releases from you folks talking about yet another project that you're taking on and yet another municipality replacing mains. How long is that going on? how much progress have you made? How many more times are we gonna get, you know, infrastructure starting in Ocean Township today or whatever it is?
Right. So that'll be a constant for certainly as long as I'm in.
Okay.
You know, we have hundreds of miles of pipe, and we have very sophisticated models to determine when we think the useful life of that pipe is gone. The Water Quality Accountability Act, which was passed a few years ago, wants towns or water purveyors to replace about 150-year cycle. I can tell you that we are at about 100-year cycle. Part of it is that we act as the spinal column for much of the state. We have very large pre-stressed concrete 60-inch pipe that runs water from east to west and north to south. So we need to stay on top of that so that all of the systems we serve, not just the ones we own, but others we sell to, are cared for. So we'll be constantly recapitalizing. And frankly, that's as much of a challenge to towns as these acute problems of forever chemicals.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a constant need to be on top of it, be thinking about it. We have these really cool, I've become a little bit of a geek since I've had this job. We have these very cool acoustic systems where we do soundings and we try and find leaks early. So that we're just repairing and not having to replace massive pieces of pipe. But it's a constant vigil.
Very good. Okay. So what, looking ahead for the rest of 2024, are these the priorities for the company, the lead service replacement and then the infrastructure work, or are there other things that you've got going that we should know about?
These are really the priorities. I mean,
Okay.
what we are at our core an environmental company and an infrastructure company. And so with the rollout of the new emerging contaminant standards around PFAS, we will be spending a lot of time focused on that with the lead service line deadline that we have coming. We'll be spending a lot of time focused on that. And frankly, we'll just be doing the day-to-day work. You know, the 800 plus dedicated men and women that I have, you know, I joke all the time, they worry about artificial intelligence. I tell them, I don't want robots. I need caring, empathetic people who want to deliver a life-sustaining utility into our customers, because frankly, we're the only one that enters the house and that people ingest. So yeah, that's really where our focus is, just make sure we're keeping safe, reliable, and affordable water for our customers and being a solution provider to those towns that need it.
Okay. Okay. Before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about an announcement that the company just made within the past week or so about your charitable foundation, American Water Charitable Foundation. It appears to me you've sort of created a new program by combining an existing program. Can you tell me a little bit about that and what you're looking for, what you hope to accomplish with that?
Yeah, what we're really trying to do is take that environmental piece and water and the environment and make sure that we're getting funds and getting money to those people who can really, those environmental groups that can have a great impact on the water source. So watersheds are very important to us. Again, making touch points with individuals in communities. Most people don't think about their water except for when they open the tap, but having grassroots groups, excuse me, that can go out there and talk to folks. And then the other piece of that we're trying to integrate is STEM and workforce development. So I would say it's sort of a three-legged stool. It's sort of water in the environment with these grants that we just announced. We have our STEM program to get kids excited. And then the other piece is that we have workforce development. We're trying to get folks into what we think is a great industry.
Okay. Well, I can tell you, I mean, I've heard that a lot of folks in your position concerned about workforce development and what the workforce of the future is going to look like. And this is something that you're doing to try to sort of head off those kinds of problems.
Absolutely. It's imperative that we get, because not many 12-year-olds lay awake at night thinking, gosh, I want to work in a water plant someday. But, you know, but if we get kids excited about this industry, we can really have an impact. We can have an impact both positively on underserved communities in particular, but also an impact on our own industry and make sure that we continue to have the workforce needed.
Okay. Well, that's a good place to leave it. Mark McDonough, the president of New Jersey American Water. Thank you very much for joining me. I hope you come back and let us know how some of this other work is going as we get through the year.
Thanks, Jeff. We'll talk water anytime.
Okay, great. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks again. And thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.